We're live and we're local. This is a Juno Afternoon on Tuesday, December 5th, 2017. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. On today's show, we'll get our monthly update from the Juno Public Libraries. We'll also find out about the holiday cream tea at the Church of the Trinity. Mike Blackwell and Katrina Wolford will be here to promote the Juno Douglas City Museum annual meeting and special presentation. And we'll hear from the JLO about their Midwinter Vocal Festival. Those interviews, national native news, bird note music, and more right here on a Juno Afternoon. Weather today, rain with high near 43, southeast wind around 15 miles per hour. And tonight, more rain likely, then becoming mostly cloudy with a low around 38. National Native News is next.
This is National Native News. I'm Art Hughes, in for Antonia Gonzalez. A coalition of five tribes are following through on their promised legal challenge against President Donald Trump's plans to dramatically scale back the boundaries of the Bears Ears National Monument in Utah. Navajo Nation Vice President Jonathan Nez called Trump's actions a slap in the face.
We're not going to allow that to happen in this day and age, and so we're ready to fight. We're a resilient people. We're strong. We're overcomers, and we'll see President Trump in court.
Navajo Attorney General Ethel Branch said the scale of Trump's actions make it a violation of the Antiquities Act that's been in place to protect native land and objects for more than a century. Trump's proclamation to shrink Bears Ears and the Grand Staircase Escalante monuments are a victory for Utah officials who say the original protections of so much land is an overreach of federal authority. In his remarks, Trump said the original park boundaries went way beyond the scope of the Antiquities Act.
Unfortunately, previous administrations have ignored the standard and used the law to lock up hundreds of millions of acres of land and water under strict government control.
The Native American Rights Fund filed the complaint on behalf of the Navajo Nation, the Hopi Tribe, the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe, the Ute Indian Tribe, and the Zuni Tribe. Native tribes remain steadfast in their opposition against the Pebble Mine in southwest Alaska as the project gains new momentum. The Environmental Protection Agency made it clear in 2014 that the mine was too risky to move forward under the Clean Water Act. Now the EPA is considering reversing itself. After years in court, the agency recently settled litigation with the Canadian mining company Northern Dynasty, removing another perceived barrier. The company now plans to bring on a new investor and intends to file permit applications for a smaller mine. Daisha Eaton has another report for the series, Alaska Water Wars.
Robin Samuelson stands on a beach that President Barack Obama once visited and where a salmon famously spawned on the president's shoes.
We are on Kanaknak Beach. To the right is the Nishigak River, and that's where all the salmon go up and spawn.
Dillingham is about 100 miles from the proposed Pebble Mine. Samuelson spent most of his life as a commercial fisherman. He says having President Obama visit the Southwest Alaska fishing town was a big deal. It felt like someone in Washington was finally listening to tribal concerns about development of Pebble Mine. Samuelson is Yupik and a chief for Chogyung Tribe. He was involved in tribe's request that the federal government step in.
We, the tribes, petitioned the federal government for a 404C process.
That's the section of the Clean Water Act that authorizes EPA to deny or restrict the use of an area when it determines there will be unacceptable adverse effects on water. EPA in 2014 issued a proposed determination that a large mine like Pebble was too risky to move forward. Agency officials spent 3 years analyzing peer-reviewed scientific studies before issuing the proposal. But Pebble CEO Tom Collier says it's not about science.
I thought it was just a colossal abuse of process.
The mining company filed 3 lawsuits in Alaska federal court. A judge gave Pebble a preliminary injunction on one of them. The injunction stopped the EPA from finalizing its proposal. In May, Collier met with new EPA head Scott Pruitt. This summer, EPA began the reversal process. This fall, it held regional hearings. Samuelson says he sees the debate over what the EPA did as the first fight in a longer battle.
I know now that if I died tomorrow, that the younger people of Bristol Bay will stand up and take them on.
And he says his people are ready for the next round. In Anchorage, I'm Daisha Eaton.
And I'm Art Hughes.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians, advising us all to protect the circle of life. Help prevent the spread of the flu by getting a flu vaccine each year. Learn more at aaip.org.
Yate, support by the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce Convention and Tourism Department, providing complete convention and visitor planning services to Native American conventions. Information on convention and tourism services at siabq.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my first guests today are from the fantastic Juno Public Library, Program Coordinator Beth Weigel and Andy Hirsch, who has a long title that I'll let her say.
Hi, I'm Andy. I'm the Electronic Services and Community Outreach Librarian.
Good job, Andy.
Thank you.
You guys are here to provide us with the monthly update and more. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you.
Well, before we get to the update, let's talk books for a second, since I'm in the room with a couple of library folks. What are you guys reading right now? What's hot?
Well, I just finished a book called Nine Fox Gambit by Yoon-Ha Lee, and it was very good. It's a sci-fi book, first in a series, and I think it was up for a lot of awards in 2016, so I was very excited to get my hands on it. And then for my nonfiction, I always read one fiction and one nonfiction at the same time. My nonfiction, I'm reading a book called Glaciers, The Politics of Ice. And I'm doing that for an upcoming Juno Public Library book club that takes place next week on Tuesday. And we're going to have a special guest, Aaron Hood from UAS, who's going to come and talk with us about glaciers. And we'll also hopefully people will have read this book. And so then we can have a really nice discussion about glaciers.
Fantastic. And how about you, Beth?
Well, I have been reading. I like to listen to books, actually. I'm a big audiobook fan, and I download them onto my phone and listen that way. And I just finished listening to The Buried Giant, which is by
Ishigura?
Ishigura. He just won a Nobel Prize for Literature, and it was quite good to listen to that. And I also have been a fan of checking out the CDs. We have CDs that you can listen to as well, and I listen in my car as I'm driving. And I know a lot of people are big fans of the Outlander books, and I'm on like book, I don't know, six or seven. And so it's been pretty fun to be following the TV series as I already know what happens, but also knowing what happens in the future as I'm listening to the books. So that's pretty engaging for me. And I do sometimes also have a nonfiction going as well. I did just read a really nice collection of essays on the philosophy of walking, so that was pretty great.
Wow, those all sound fantastic. I've read the first of the Outlander books.
Yeah.
I'm currently reading The Dry by Jane Harper, and that's an ebook I checked out from Juno Public Library using the phone app, which I use all the time for ebooks and for audiobooks. You check them out for free, and they're on your phone or your device.
And if people are curious, there's actually two different apps. The app that she's using could either be called Overdrive Media Console. That's kind of the parent company that helps us manage ebooks and audiobook checkouts. And they also have beta testing a new app right now called Libby. And both of those get you access to the Juno Public Library collection, which is, I don't know, 25,000 ebooks and audiobooks. It's not insignificantly small.
No, it's quite good. And if there's something I can't find, I always just recommend it. There's an option to recommend it on the app, and I usually get a hold of it eventually. But if I'm not feeling very patient, another thing I like to do is go online and check out the physical book and have it delivered to the closest pickup location near me, which for KTOO, I always have them sent to the SLAM. It's right next door to the station. And it's so convenient. I'm just a big reader, so I can't overstate how much I appreciate these library services.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. We're part of a larger consortium in which here in town, obviously, the University Library and the State Library are in that consortium with us. But the consortium also includes many different libraries throughout the state, up in Anchorage, Sitka, Haines. There's just you probably know how many there are.
Petersburg, the Matsu Borough, the UAA system.
Right. And when you log on to your account from anywhere, you see something in the catalog that you like and it's at a different library, you can just place a hold on it and ask it to come to your closest library, just like you do.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and it's actually faster than waiting for an ebook a lot of times. Those waiting lists can be pretty long for the popular titles. So Anyway, you guys, the library, it's all great.
I'm blushing.
Well, we don't just have books. We have programs, too.
Yeah, what's new and exciting for the month of December?
Well, I'm sure the Wildlife Wednesday folks will be in, but just a note that they'll we'll have Wildlife Wednesday tomorrow at the Valley Library, and Art Such is going to be showing photographs of his underwater photography, so that's going to be pretty amazing.
And like I mentioned, next Tuesday at the Douglas Library at 6 p.m., we're going to be having a book club to talk about glaciers, the politics of ice. And there are copies available at all three of your public libraries. You can have them sent to any of the other libraries for pickup. And we will be joined by special guest Aaron Hood, who is one of our most premier glacier scientists here in Juneau, and he works at the university. And so he's going to come and talk with us. And we, if you have any questions about what's going on, he will probably be able to answer them.
And it's an ongoing book series that Andy's hosting called Pushing the Limits. And so if you can't make this one or you feel like you didn't read this book or something, there's the next book and the next book. Do you want to say quickly what those are?
Sure. We are in beginning of February. We're going to be reading People of the Book by Geraldine Brooks. And our special guest, this is a kind of a book about a conservation of a priceless manuscript. And so we are going to be joined by Jody DeBrines from the City Museum, who's going to be talking with us about conservation. How do we preserve things? How do we keep things safe, especially in this climate? And then in March, early March, we are going to be reading Movement of the Stars by Amy Brill. And we will be joined by a enthusiastic and very knowledgeable astronomer,
Sean Strauss.
Thank you. Sorry, Sean. I got a little tongue-tied. And these are both, all of this whole series is actually funded by the National Science Foundation. And so it's to talk about science, but in this context of the everyday world. So reading fiction and nonfiction books, and how does that relate to our lives, and how does science relate to our lives? So it's pretty fun.
Right. That's really exciting.
Yeah.
What else?
Well, we're going to have our second annual Douglas Library Tea on the 21st. It's in celebration of solstice. And we started this last year. The one of our librarians, Luann Gagné, she retired, and she was really interested in having a tea, and she has connections where she can get all the pretty teacups, and we can have the full service and everything. And so she's said when she retired, that was the one thing she wanted to come back and help host again this year. And now Andy is the what's your role there?
I'm also the Douglas
branch manager.
Douglas branch manager.
So she's the Douglas branch manager. So we're hosting the
big
tea again at Douglas on the 21st from 1 to 3 p.m. We'll have some light entertainment. Dan Hobson's going to come play his guitar. We might have some other music as well, and then maybe some readings. I think Katie Bosler, she did a nice reading on Treadwell and Christmas at Treadwell kind of thing last year, so I think she might reprise some of that. And it's just a nice time to gather. We'll have some really delightful treats from Breeze Inn, some, you know, traditional, you know, cucumber sandwiches like you'd have at a tea, as well as some other fun things. And then Justy from Pie in the Sky is going to make us a very lovely Yule log, the chocolate cake, you know, that's just specific for that time of year. So that's going to be on the 21st from 1 to 3. And then that evening, we also have our downtown family night, and we'll be celebrating it with Dolly Parton, although Dolly Parton is being played by Gigi Monroe. So we're celebrating the Imagination Library. That's one of the programs that we've had at the library in conjunction with the AUIC. And so we have a sort of a guest Gigi Monroe impersonator of Dolly Parton.
Almost better than the real
thing. Yeah, I think it probably will be. So we're excited to welcome them for the Downtown Family Night that same night, the 21st. And anything that's left over from our tea, we'll bring over to the downtown for the kiddos.
And if people don't know what the Imagination Library is, it's this amazing nonprofit program started by Dolly Parton. And so you can sign kids up from birth to age 5, and you get a free book sent to you every month.
Really?
Yep. So you sign up, it's free, and every month you get a book in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the books that you would receive? Do you know?
Little Engine That Could.
Yeah, and they do the bull one. We just had that as a story, Ferdinand. And there's a really lovely little book called Snow Music that we had the author here not long ago as well, Lynn.
Ray Perkins.
Yep. And it's all about the sounds that snow makes. And so it's perfect for this time of year. And that's one of the books that kids have received in the past. So,
what a great program.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to update our listeners about as it relates to the library?
So we have a couple new databases available. So the library, of course, has physical books and ebooks, but we also have other research materials available for people, generally available digitally. And so we have three new subscriptions that we'd like to tell people about. And the first one is we actually have a subscription to the New York Times. So the New York Times allows you to read about 10 articles a month. Is that?
That's right.
That's right. So without a personal subscription. So now if you go through the Juno Public Library's webpage, you go to juno.org/library, you click on research, and you can find it by title or under newspapers, things like that. And you can click the link, it will give you a one-day login, and you can do this every day. And so you can read an unlimited number of New York Times articles without having to have a personal subscription to the New York Times.
That's amazing.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, nice job.
Mm-hmm. And so our second new database is called Canopy. That's Canopy with a K. And it's actually like an online movie and documentary streaming database. And so what happens is each person will log in. You go through our website again, juno.org/library, and then you click on research. And you have to create a free account. You can do that with your library card. And you can have up to 8 titles a month. And so it's a lot of independent films and a lot of documentaries.
It's like the full Criterion collection is there as well. And like she said, a lot of documentary things. And you not only can you just do this through your computer, like I have the app on my phone and you can set it up on your like Roku TV if you have one of those. It takes a couple more extra steps for that, but it's really great. It's like, you know, the free library version of Netflix or something like that. But
that's
limited a little bit, but it's pretty great.
That's just what I was imagining. How cool.
It is really neat. So I'm very excited that we have that. And the third database we have is actually a subscription to ValueLine. And ValueLine is like an investment database. So if you are into investing or you think you might be into investing and you need to start doing research, this is a great site gives you all sorts of really up-to-date financial information that you can access and normally costs a lot of money. So you can go through the Juno Public Library's page, log in with your library card, and then you get all of that for free.
Right. And we've always had the physical version of ValueLine. It's like a little magazine, newspaper magazine thing, and we're discontinuing that part of it, but encouraging people to use the online version
it's
now because there's so many more tools. Yeah.
Well, just when I thought the library couldn't get any better.
Wait till we tell you what's happening in January. We want to give a little preview to something that's going to happen.
All right. Lay it on me.
So go ahead, Andy. You tell them.
Okay. So back in 2015, long story. Back in 2015, we applied for a grant, and the grant was for a traveling exhibit. The exhibit is called Discover Tech, Engineers Make a World of Difference, and we were one of 8 libraries in the U.S. to be awarded this traveling exhibit. And it's time, like it's going to be here January 10th, and it will be here for about 3 months. It's 800 square feet. So it will be living at the Mendenhall Valley Public Library because that's the only one big enough to host it. And it is so neat. If you haven't been to a science center or like an interactive science exhibit down south in a long time, this is going to be very similar. It's got a lot. It's got panels and information. It's got a lot of hands-on activities. And it's just really, really neat. And so it covers what engineering is and why it's important and different things you can do. You can build circuits, you can build arches, you can build buildings.
There's a lot about the future, like engineering problems that we still need to conquer and figure out, and a lot about how alternative energies are used, like hydropower and
solar power
and like if you needed to figure out how to create a water filter, you know, there's going to be a whole wall that has different things that are magnetized to it. And you can move it around and then see how water might run through different facets and things like that to create clean water. So there's just going to be a lot of really fun things. We're bringing all of our elementary school kids to the library for it. And so we're really excited about this, and we'll talk about it probably nonstop for 3 months.
Well, that's all
but
right.
We wanted to give a little preview to it.
Yeah. So the first day that the exhibit will be there is January 10th. So we've got a little more than a month, and it's going to be really neat. And so I'm very, very excited.
I can tell. Congratulations. That's a really big deal. And I think everyone's going to be super excited about that.
Thank you. Yeah.
So if there are engineers out there, too, we're going to highlight our local engineers. So stop by the library and ask for Andy or I. And we're going to have one wall dedicated to the engineers in our community and what you guys do, what these people do for our community.
If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Andy Hirsch and Beth Weigel from the Juneau Public Libraries. They've been giving me the monthly update. There's a lot in there, from programs to new databases to the upcoming exhibit. So where can we go to find out more information? Is there a one-stop place for all this?
Two places usually have most of our information. Our website, which is juneau.org/library. And then we also have a Facebook page we maintain, and that's Facebook.com/library events, I believe, is our handle.
Yes.
Cool. Well, thank you both for being here today. Did we get to everything you wanted to get to?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's a lot. December is going to be a busy month, but I think that's good news for everyone. So thanks, both of you, for being here today.
Thanks, Shelley.
Thank you very much.
Today is the launch of our Winter On Air member drive. Our entire campaign will exist in these short messages so that you won't miss any of the great programming you love. And special for today only, every donation KTOO receives will be matched with food donations to the Glory Hole thanks to the generosity of Super Bear IGA. Support public media while also supporting those in our community who could use some extra help by renewing your membership, making an additional gift, or signing up to become a member for the first time at ktoo.org.
Peace, love, and joy from Sea Alaska Heritage. When you shop at Sea Alaska Heritage Store, you're supporting Southeast Alaska Native art, languages, and cultural programming all year long, making it the best place to buy Alaska Native art and gifts. Stop by the Walter Soboloff Building Tuesday through Friday 10 to 6 and Saturday 10 to 5. This message brought to you by Sea Alaska Heritage.
It is 25 minutes after the hour. You're tuned into a Juno afternoon, and here with me is Maggie Schoenfeld to talk about the holiday cream tea at the Church of the Holy Trinity. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. So for those who don't know, like myself, what is a cream tea?
So a cream tea is kind of like a high tea, as in it's meal served kind of mid-afternoon to late afternoon, consisting of scones, sandwiches, fruit, cookies, cake, all those sorts of tasty things. The difference between a more standard tea and a cream tea is with a cream tea, instead of having butter on your scones, you have either clotted cream or whipped cream. Fortunately, it is very difficult to get clotted cream in the States, so we're doing whipped cream for this one.
Cool. So what are all the elements that make up a traditional cream tea?
Generally, you have a selection of sandwiches or savories. This year, we are doing turkey sandwiches with a little bit of cranberry sauce, which we figured was pretty festive. We have cucumber sandwiches, which are always a classic for tea, the really thinly sliced cucumber, as well as some egg salad sandwiches. We're also going to be doing fresh scones that will be made at the church to be served with the cream, because that's kind of the point. And we always have jam as well. And we're going to be having a selection of fruit and a really nice selection of desserts. We are going to be serving chocolate eclairs, something called a Yule log cake or Bûche de Noël. It's the traditional either French or British Christmas cake that's shaped and kind of looks like a log. And you slice it and it's kind of like a jelly roll. So filled with whipped cream. There's a lot of cream going on, but that's, you know, tasty. We're also doing gingerbread. So not the cardboard tasting houses, but the actual like gingerbread that tastes really good, also with whipped cream. And we're also going to be having pumpkin pies, as well as a small selection of gluten-free options.
All right. And is there a format to the service, some formalities that are
So we have two seatings that are going on. We're having a seating at 2 o'clock and a seating at 4 o'clock. The 2 o'clock seating is sold out online, but there will still be tickets available at the door. And basically, you'll get a small plate with couple scones, your sandwiches, fruit. We'll have a dessert cart circulating. You'll get a little dish of cream, so nobody has to fight over it. You each get your own, and a little thing of jam. And, of course, we will have tea. And tea is always very generously donated for these by Rainbow Foods. And it's a really nice – I can't remember if it's Irish or English breakfast, but it's a really nice, strong black tea, which I think we all need this time of year. And we'll also, of course, have peppermint tea available for people who are a little less with the caffeine.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
It sounds absolutely lovely. Is there a dress code? Get dressed up in fancy clothes?
Like we would love if people come dressed in hats, but if you also just want to come in extra tufts and jeans, that's fine too. We got really happy last September when we did the last one, because the steampunk group came and they were all dressed up, and that was super fun. We were all kind of peeking out at the kitchen and, did you see them? And don't they look nice? Which does definitely, I think, they kind of class up our tea, but hats are definitely encouraged, whether they're rain hats or something large with flowers on it.
And how many times has the church organized something like this?
I think this is our maybe sixth or seventh tea. We've been doing them about every 2 years for the last number of years. We did, as I said, do one last September. And then this is our first Christmas tea, though. We thought it'd be kind of a fun holiday thing to do. And we're having lots of volunteers showing up from the church. So I think it should be really fun. And we're going to decorate. We made a whole bunch of teapot-shaped Christmas ornaments. So we're going to have a teapot Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just going to be a total blast.
Yeah, that reminds me. I wanted to ask about the place settings. Is there anything special about the...
Well, my mom did make a whole bunch of Christmas-themed tea cozies, because a very important part of tea is having nice hot tea. And so she had a lot of fun with that. And we're going to be doing some kind of other decorating. This is happening in McPheeters Hall at the Church of the Holy Trinity right downtown. And that's always a fun place to decorate. So I think we'll have a lot of fun with it.
Fantastic. So where can we find out more information?
More information is available online at trinityjuno.org or just Google Holy Trinity. You can buy tickets online for the second seating. Just the homepage for Holy Trinity has a link to the tea. And there are posters up around town. And we also have tickets available at the door. And tickets are $20 per person. Or we do have a few tables, I think, available, which are $100 for a table of six. So you get one free tea in your table.
That sounds great. It's Maggie Schoenfield talking about the holiday cream tea at the Church of the Holy Trinity. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It sounds like a delightful event. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I just wanted to point out that it is this Saturday, December 9th at 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. is our two seatings. And we'd love to have people come. And then the other thing that I forgot to mention is we are also doing a silent auction. A number of community members and church members have donated teacups that they're no longer using on a regular basis. And so we have some really, as well as some other tea and kind of Christmassy things. So we have some really lovely, beautiful teacups that are going to be set up for a silent auction there. So even if you don't feel like coming to the tea and you just want to stop by, we definitely encourage it.
Cool. Silent auctions are a great place to do your Christmas shopping.
Yes, they are.
Speaking from personal experience. All right. Well, Maggie, thank you so much for being here today and have a wonderful time at the tea.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
This week is K2's on-air winter member drive. As a special kickoff for today, we're teaming up with Super Bear IGA so that each contribution that comes in triggers food donations to the Glory Hole. This is a great opportunity to do two things: support local public radio and help those who need it this holiday season. Again, this is only for today, so don't wait. Increase your membership, renew, or sign on at 586-3636 or at k2.org. Thank you.
You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and with me in the studio are Mike Blackwell and Jane Lindsay from the Juno Douglas City Museum. Mike is a part of the Friends of the Juno Douglas City Museum, and Jane Lindsay, you're the director of the City Museum.
That's right. Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, you're both here to talk about the annual meeting and special presentation happening this Thursday, December 7th. What is the presentation about?
The gathering is the annual meeting. It has two parts: a brief report to the membership on the activities of the Friends during this ending calendar year. That will be brief, promise. And the centerpiece is a talk on one of the museum's favorite topics, and that is the art of Sidney Lawrence.
And the speaker, yes, I've heard a lot about him this year.
And the speaker will be Kes Woodward, a retired professor up at the U in Fairbanks, and he's down here to talk about Sidney Lawrence and his work in and around Juno and his business relationship with a prime retailer of art, the Nugget Shop, run by Bell Simpson, whom everybody knows.
And who was Sidney Lawrence, for those who don't know?
He is broadly regarded as Alaska's foremost artist, chiefly for his work in the Denali area and the Susitna, Kenai, Prince William Sound, but he did a lot of work down here.
And he's a painter, correct?
He is a painter, yes,
landscapes
and photographer.
Mm-hmm. And what works of his are displayed around here, namely in the City Museum?
The City Museum has four of his works. The State Museum has a good flock of them as well. The State Museum, their collection pertains to the entire state. The Sidney Lawrence paintings in the City Museum are around Juno, Eagle River, the channel, the mountains. They're Juno-specific.
Mm-hmm. And it's worth saying as well that the reason the Friends are highlighting Kessler Woodward for their meeting is because recently the Friends just helped raise funds and purchase and donate Bend in the River by Sidney Lawrence, which is this beautiful painting that was done in Juneau around the airport area. And then, in about 2009, they also bought another Sidney Lawrence. So two of our Sidneys in the Juno Douglas City Museum have been donated to the museum and the public by the Friends of the Juno Douglas City Museum.
And I saw one of them on First Friday, one of the paintings. Glowing Valley, is that the one? Is that the correct title? I believe I saw that one.
No.
Is that one not on display?
I think the one you saw was Early Juno Morning.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's beautiful,
right,
with the ship and
yes.
Mount Juno.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I got the title wrong.
Yeah,
but that's the painting that I saw. I was reading the description and all of the Tlingit words that were used to describe the Mount Juno and the valley, and that was all in the description of the painting. Gorgeous work.
Nice.
I'm also really looking forward to seeing Bend in the River. Do you know when that will be going back on display?
Right now, we don't have plans for it to go on display. We did. It was purchased in memory of William D. DeArmond, who passed away a few months ago. And so we had it up for a First Friday. I think it was in October.
It was sometime this fall, but I didn't see it then.
And so we put it up in our summer exhibit where he had actually done he had written about his mother's typewriter, which he donated to the museum. So we had already had some information. But right now, you can actually make an appointment with our curator of collections if you want to come and see it. I'm sure Kes will have slides. He's going to have a great PowerPoint. So we will be able to see it at the Rockwell during his presentation, because he will be talking about this work that Sydney did in our area, which is just so beautiful.
Yes, he was clearly a very talented artist, and I really enjoyed the paintings, the pictures of the paintings that I haven't seen in person. Should be a very interesting talk. So when and where will it take place?
The Rockwell on Thursday the 7th. Doors open at 6. The annual meeting, the short annual meeting, begins at 6:30.
Okay.
And it'll be finished, I promise, by 7. And then Kes will talk, and he's a good speaker, knows his topic extremely well, and folks won't be bored. There's light refreshments and an opportunity to socialize as well as learn about Sydney in Juneau. And Belle Simpson, not everybody knows about the late Belle Goldstein Simpson.
So we'll learn about Belle as well.
Yes, and her nugget shop.
Anything else you'd like to add?
I just want to add that this presentation by Kes is free to all current members of the Friends of the Juneau Douglas City Museum. We are asking for a $5 donation from those who are not members. It's a great time to become a member, because then you can come to this presentation for free. And if there's any more questions you have or you need more information, you can certainly call the museum, 586-3572.
Jane and Mike, thank you very much for being here today. Looking forward to the presentation on Thursday.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Of course. Good luck.
This is Bird Note. Snake eagles are pretty incredible. That name, snake eagle, may conjure up some kind of fearsome sci-fi hybrid, spawned in a secret laboratory. But snake eagles are for real. And they are awesome, big birds of prey. When a soaring snake eagle spots a delicious snake, it swoops down suddenly, grabbing with its talons. Then it immediately flies upward as the snake writhes and strikes. The first order of business is to minimize the danger, so the eagle crushes or tears off the snake's head. Still on the wing, it then swallows the entire snake head first. Snake eagles are a bit smaller than bald eagles. There are 6 different species, and they live mainly in Africa, although one ranges as far as Europe and India. Snake eagle legs and toes are covered in thick scales that help protect them from bites, and bites are a serious risk. Snake eagles take on some of the swiftest and deadliest snakes in the world, like cobras and black mambas. But not every meal is a battle with a deadly adversary. When not snatching snakes, snake eagles may also hunt lizards, rodents, and even bats or fish. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. Bird Note is flying south in March 2018. We'll experience Costa Rica's amazing birds and wildlife, and you can join us. More at birdnote.org.
I don't have those driveway moments. I don't have a driveway, but that's, I have like trailhead moments. My name is Andrew Washburn. I'm the museum registrar for the Alaska State Museum. I'm also the secretary for the Cape Decision Lighthouse Society. I've lived in Juneau for 3 years. I listen to public media, and I read public media. I value public media. I trust K2's local coverage because it's truly objective. And you could say that for NPR across the board. Commercial media offers opinions and coverage based on who pays their bills. And, you know, I guess in the same way public media does that too, you know, and we pay their bills. And so they're going to offer coverage, you know, that speaks to us, that we want to hear, which I'm hoping is the rest of you want objective coverage too.
Please take a moment to begin, renew, or upgrade your membership now at ktoo.org.
Each year, KTOO partners with dozens of community groups so you know what's happening in town. A Juno Afternoon is where you get the details on upcoming events like a talk at the Glacier or hear a conversation with a Perseverance playwright. KRNN broadcasts nearly every artist coming to town for events like Juno Jazz and Classics. Your support of KTOO helps us support every other group in town. Contribute now at ktoo.org.
You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon. It's about 16 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and with me is my last guest, last but not least, Lena Simmons, here to talk about the Midwinter Vocal Festival. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Lena, remind me again, what is your connection with the Juno Lyric Opera?
I'm on the board of directors and have been for more years than I think I care to count at this point.
And are you the primary coordinator of this festival?
I am. I do the choral workshops. That's sort of become my little area of expertise. And we try to do a couple a year. And this, of course, is, I think, the major one because it's a good time. You know, you've got Christmas is over with, so you've got sort of the downer from that, and it's dark and it's cold or rainy or snowy or whatever. And so it's just a great way to spend about a week and a half, just, you know, getting together with friends and singing wonderful music.
Yeah, so it's billed as a vocal festival. It's actually a vocal workshop, a series of workshops.
It's a series of workshops.
And there's a performance at the end. Yeah, tell us all about it.
Okay, well, we're doing two workshops this year. I mean, two different classes. We usually do three, but we're just doing two this year. And the first is group voice. And this is, if you're a shower singer or you haven't sung for a long time and you don't know what your voice part really is, and I've always kind of wanted to sing, but I've always been afraid, this is the kind of class to take. If you don't know what your voice part is, we'll tell you whether you're a soprano or an alto or a tenor or a baritone. And you'll get some good basic grounding on how to sing correctly, not only to make yourself feel better if you're singing with other people that you can keep up, but to teach you some techniques not to hurt your voice. Singing is, if you don't do it right, you can really cause damage to yourself. And we'll sort of teach you how to stand and where to breathe and you know, the lifting of your eyebrows so that you don't strain yourself sometimes. And There's all sorts of little tricks and techniques that you can use to sound better, to increase your stamina, you know, and to not hurt yourself. And that's what this class is all about. And it's limited to 10 people because any more than that, you don't get enough individual attention.
Wow, that's actually, it's kind of a small number.
It's a small number, but we've done it in the past and we've had like 25 people there. And, you know, Dr. McGilvray is running around like a chicken with his head cut off trying to hear everybody and listen and do exercises with each one. So we've limited it to 10. The other class is the festival chorus, where it's open to anybody. There's no audition. You just show up. And we sing a very wide variety of music. We've got some classical pieces we're going to do. Purcell, which is, you know, kind of Renaissance-y sort of singing. And then we've got a beautiful piece from Aaron Copland that's just gorgeous, that has piano forehand accompaniment. So we'll have two pianists on one piano. And then we're going to do the Credo from the Schubert Mass in G, which is just a lovely piece. Then we get a spiritual and something sort of jazzy, gospel-y sort of sounding. The men are going to sing Unchained Melody, you know, Shades of Ghost, right? Mm-hmm. The women get to do Get Your Kicks on Route 66. And then we're going to do two Broadway pieces, one which is just a favorite of mine, which is from Guys and Dolls' Luck Be a Lady Tonight. And the other, we're going to do Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Your Story from Hamilton.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great choice.
Yeah, yeah.
And no Christmas music or holiday music.
No holiday music.
This is your escape from that, huh?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, people by this point in time are kind of tired of holiday music often.
Yes, and it takes place after Christmas,
I'm just noticing. Well, actually, it's if you get liturgically correct, it's in the middle of Christmastide, but we won't get into that. Then on the first Saturday, we're going to hold auditions for people who want to sing in the concert.
Soloists?
Soloists, duets, quintets, quartets, or whatever. You come in with any piece you want. It can be opera. It can be Broadway. It can be art song. It can be oratorio. It could be a folk song. It could be Enya. It could be, you know, it could be Adele. You know, it doesn't matter. You come in with a piece that you really like, that you think you sound good in, and we'll pick maybe 6-7 people to do solos during the performance.
The audition, like American Idol style, the celebrity panel.
No, is that the one with the buzzer?
No, I think that's a different one.
No, not quite.
Either way, it sounds a little
We're going to be nicer. Going to be a little nicer.
I figured you guys would be gentle.
Well, you know, audition is one of the hardest things that a performer ever does. I mean, people get, oh, you sing all the time, but that doesn't mean anything when you're out there in front of the judges and maybe with a pianist that you've never worked with before, and you're sitting there going, can I remember the key change? Can I remember the key change? You know, it's intimidating. It's really, really, you know, so the more warmth you can give the people who have the guts to do it, you should.
Agreed.
Yeah.
That all sounds fantastic. So when does registration is already open,
Registration is open. And the first classes will start on the 28th of December. All the classes are at Holy Trinity because I have keys to everything, so it's easy to get around to everything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, both of the vocal the course and the group voice classes are all at Holy Trinity, and so are the auditions. And then on Saturday the 6th, we'll move into the Jack and have a dress rehearsal there for everybody, the chorus and the soloists. And then Sunday afternoon, we'll perform.
That sounds wonderful.
Well, it's a good time. I mean, you know, it's the sort of thing that there's going to be a wide variety enough of music that I think everybody will find something that they like. And if you're not really sure of yourself, just come in and say, well, I want to try it. And we'll go, okay, we'll set you next to this person. They're a strong, you know, singer of their part, and you can just sort of listen to them and go along with them, and they can help keep you, you know, going on the way you need to go. And I can guarantee you'll have a good time.
And Dr. Byron McGilvery is the leader of the workshop.
Right. And our vocal coach and accompanist is Janice Capel. Uh-huh. And they've been coming up now for, I think this is 29 years.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So he's gotten to know a lot of people here and has seen us move from, you know, we had 23 singers, I think, at the most. And we sang two pieces the very first time they came up. And I was certain that they would never want to come back again.
Why were you wrong?
Well, I was wrong. Thank goodness. I mean, we've had workshops. I think the biggest workshop we had was one summer when we did Elijah, and we had 99 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been something to hear.
Oh, that was cool. I got to sit in the front row because I'm so short. I often get to sit in the front row. And having all that sound hit you in the back of the head is really cool.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. So thanks, Lena, for being here today.
Well, thank you for letting me come in.
Yeah, Lena Simmons with the Juno Lyric Opera, telling us all about the Midwinter Vocal Festival. Registration's open now, and the rehearsals will start on Thursday, December 28th. And the performances, for those who are interested, the performance is Sunday, January 7th, 3 p.m. at the Jack.
Correct.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Just go to the website. It'll give you all the information you need.
That's a great idea. Very good point. Thanks so much, Lena.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon today. A couple of announcements before we wrap up the show. The Governor's Open House is today, Tuesday, December 5th, 2017. It's one of Juno's longest-running holiday traditions. Governor Bill Walker will open the Governor's Mansion to the public. It takes place from 3 to 6 p.m. It's going on right now. The public is invited to the mansion for cookies, cider, and a chance to meet the Governor and First Lady. Also coming up this weekend, the Story Factory is here. From Mudrooms, Juno's monthly community storytelling event, they are hosting a storytelling workshop for anyone who is interested. So if you always wanted to tell a story at Mudrooms, but you just didn't feel ready, this would be a good time to go and check out the Story Factory workshop. That's Sunday, December 10th from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Northern Light United Church. Pat McClare, Tom Cosgrove, Pete Griffin, and many others will be there assisting anyone with a story to share. There will be lots of practical tips and encouragement. No RSVP needed. Just show up with a story in mind, and we will take it from there. So if you have any questions or want to check on upcoming themes, visit them at mudrooms.org. Tomorrow on a Juno Afternoon, I'll be hosting again. We'll discuss Perseverance Theater's current production of Steel Magnolias. And we'll get a preview of this month's Wildlife Wednesday presentation on underwater photography in Southeast Alaska by Art Such. Tom Mattis will be here to highlight an upcoming avalanche preparedness workshop. And we'll get our weekly update on Eagle Crest activities. That's tomorrow, live at 3 on KTOO. Thank you for joining me today on a Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and Jeff Brown is the producer. Until tomorrow, have a great Juno evening.